We had started the story of Joseph, Jacob's 11th son, and it was, as all stories, very interesting, but we had to stop. How would you like if somehow, somewhere, somebody has a tape, moving, vibrant tape of your life from the time your life began? But God had such a tape. Would you like that tape to be displayed on big screen? No, not at all. Because there are facets and sections of all lives that we would certainly not like to be seen by others. Joseph was the favorite son of his father. Don't know if his mother loved him that much, but I'm sure she did. She tried to deceive her husband with dressing Joseph, if you recall, in animal skin, deceiving the father, and as a consequence, Joseph got the blessing. When his brother came back from looking for the venison, or the special meal that the father had loved, he said, "Dad, I'm back." And the father said, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm your son, Esau." And he said, "Joseph." And the father voluntarily gave his blessing to this child. You know, young people, it's easy, very easy, to try to deceive people. Much more so, parents. How many of us have deceived our parents? You thought you were in school, and you were somewhere else. They thought you were doing your homework in your room, if you had a room. Some of us grew up without having our own special rooms, but we're looking at television. How did we know that? When the tests came around, we were not sufficiently prepared, and we failed. But this young man learned some bitter lessons. The last we heard of him, he was in a pit. He was in a hole. You know, as we grow up, we find ourselves in holes, in pits, in places that are not good. But he was going to have more experiences that he didn't like. Hear what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Remember the last time we spoke here, we gave you a rundown of the various books of the Bible. It's good to know those. And I would hope you'd commit those books to your memory and to your memory bank so you can recall them, refer to them from time to time. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Very strong admonition for you as a young person and you as a child of God. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. His brothers have put him in that pit. It's amazing how much our brothers and sisters can bring hurt to us. This young lady was telling me that her older sister, when they were growing up, would punch her, beat her up. Who has not known that? And so, They had put him in his pit, thinking to get rid of him because he was the father's favorite child. And if you remember the story, the father had given him a coat of many colors. And he hated him for that. Judah, the father of the Jews, said to the brothers, let's sell him. The brothers wanted to kill him. So he was put in his pit, and they thought that would have been the end of him. But as they were sitting on that tree enjoying the joy of what they had done, it's amazing what people get joy out of, there came some Midianites going down to the most popular city at that time, Egypt, in Africa. And they thought, you know what, it would be a good thing if we sell this boy. We're tired of him and his dreams. Let's sell him. They pulled him out, and another set of people passed by, the Ishmaelites. Do you remember who the Ishmaelites were? They were descendants of Ishmael, Abraham's first son. And so, here you find a converging thing, of two different people. And this runs throughout the Bible. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they thought, that's the end of him. But God had plans for this young man's life. Do you know that God has plans for your life? You may be young, your whole life lies ahead. But it is easy to mess that life up. The things we do when we are young come to fruition later in our lives. And so God had plans for this young man's life as he does have for your life. But what does the word say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God, who made you, as this story so beautifully read and told a while ago, God made you. Sometimes we think we are so big. I made myself. What did Obama say a time ago? You didn't make that. Look at all the help you've had to make you what you are. But we get to be so big and mucky that we feel that we've done it all. And so, he was taken to Egypt, biggest, brightest city around that time. And he thought, well, my problems are over. I'm free. But he's put in the house of Potiphar, one of the commanding generals in the area of Egypt. He thought, well, I'm in the lap of luxury. I'm going to have a great time. He did not know that one of the strongest problems in the life of people was awaiting him. Therefore, we need to trust in God. And God will take care of things. He will bring things to pass. He will bring things into our lives. And it will be up to us to be strong sufficiently to overcome with the power and the help of God. He did not know that he was going to have his first sexual encounter. Young people, the world of sexuality is out there. You're going to have to face it. Hopefully your parents, maybe your mother more so, have prepared you for the trials and the temptations and the evils that all lie around the subject of sexuality. Very precious gift God has given us. It is so easy to abuse it and let it abuse us. But we've got to be the protector of that vital part of our lives that is so important for the continuity of life on the earth. Potiphar's wife saw this young man in all of his virility and strength and handsomeness, and she thought, I want him. It's the same with you. Somebody's going to see you and feel, ah, I want her. I want him. But it is up to you to guard and protect yourself with the help of God and the instructions of the parents. If not, your entire life can be dashed. The reports we're hearing is many who are in that entourage, that group coming up from South America. One of the biggest problems they're finding is that most of the young girls are raped and molested. Ruin their lives. And so you're going to come right up smack dab with the subject of sexuality. And you're going to have to remember what you were told by your parents. You're going to have to remember, you have to remember what you were taught in church. You're going to have to strive to protect yourself. And again, that verse says, trust in the Lord. If you put your confidence in God, God will see you through. But you've got to be faithful. You've got to trust in Him. And if you do, God will stand by you as He stood by your parents. He was able to escape that first encounter. I must tell you, there will be several encounters. And you'll have to escape every one of them. Or else you'll be tethered. Or else you'll be tarnished. It could be, if you are, it could be for life. So it's up to you to look out for this menace that will come up from time to time. It disguises itself, but it will come up with the help of God. You can come through in shining colors and above what that can do to your life. Potiphar was mad to think that here's this young man from another country, I brought him into my house, and look what he's doing. Consequently, the young man was put in prison, from a pit to a prison. Have you heard the statement from the friar, from the frying pan into the fire? He got out of the pit. But here he was now in the prison. You know, life is not easy to understand. He thought, all right, I got away from my brothers beating me up, put me in a pit, now I'm free, free at last. But his troubles are just about begun. While he was in prison, his fellow prisoners weren't so nice to him. He was a different guy from a different place. The two of them had dreams. One was a butler, and one was a baker. And he saw them, and their faces were like down, and what's wrong? Well, said one guy, I had a dream last night. Many times, you know, we put too much into dreams. There was a time when God used dreams to help. And we should not put our trust in dreams. Dreams are transitory. God today speaks to us through His word and through those whom He has anointed for the purpose of spreading His word. God, who in times past spoke to us, in these days speaks to us by His prophets. That's how Hebrews began, the book of Hebrews. And so he interpreted this guy's dream. He said, well, your dream means that in 3 days, 3 days, really here for 3 days. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? In 3 days, your master will take you out of this prison and kill you. Huh. Wow. The other guy, he too said, well, I had a dream too. This is what I dreamed. I dream this dream, and it still haunts me. What is the interpretation of my dream? He didn't like what was told to the butler. And now his dream, he said, I had this dream. And I had a basket of fruit on my head. And the birds were picking from the delicacies that were in the basket. And so he was taken out of the prison and killed. The second guy said, I dreamed this dream. And I was serving my master. Joseph said, that means you'll come out of prison. You'll have the opportunity to serve your master again. And so it was. In 3 days, one was taken out and executed, and the other was taken out in time and restored. The very word that was used, you'll be restored to your former place of activity. But he said, when you get out, remember me. Because my time has not yet come to get out of here. Remember me when you get out. You know, we cannot trust people as we should. They both forgot him down there. But another circumstance arose, really was need for an interpretation of another dream. And he was lifted out of the dungeon of the prison, brought back up to his master, made his dream known to him, and God was with Joseph. Very few personalities in the Bible, we find out about how their lives went for a long time. We knew that David was a shepherd boy, then he became king, and his son took over the kingdom. But in the life of Joseph, we have lots of details of his life. Lots of details. That's why I ask, how would you like to see your life projected on a big screen? All the stupid things we've done, all the lies you've told, all the deceit you've carried on with, God has it all on a cassette. God can put that cassette in there. Let's see Lawrence Morris is like, oh. And in no time, your life is projected, and God can tell everything you did on that Thursday, the Monday, the month, and the year. And so, Joseph's life is given in sequence, and it tells you what he did, but it didn't tell you why. But when you put your trust in God, and God is ready to reveal your life, he knows what to look for, and he knows what you did. He continued trusting God. He was elevated out of the pit to the place where he became the prime minister of Egypt. He was now one in authority. He was now one that could say come, and those under him would come. Where he could say go, and the person left. One of the things those in authority do is they abuse the authority. They put people down when they get somewhat elevated. When they get a position in life, they want to mash and crush and destroy and keep down others around them. He didn't do that because he was trusting in God. He was looking to God for the leadership and the direction that God wanted him to go. His brothers, they stayed at the same level. But he was going from height and from plateau to plateau. There was a famine in the land of Egypt. the food stuff was diminishing. You know, God's word deals with practical things. We think of it as this euphoric out of reality type thing, but it's real. Their country was having problems. Venezuela is not very far from my country in the, on the map, 90 miles away. And we see what has happened to Venezuela in the past weeks. That's minuscule as to what will happen in our world. We feel sorry for Venezuela. We feel sorry for those who are in those missions coming to America. There was a film by that name, you remember? Coming to America. Same embodiment. And so, the father said to them, go on up. Get some provender. Go on up, get some food for us. This time the brother who had been elevated, they came in, like others from around, to just to want begging for food. And he, in his elevation, saw them. He blinked. Those are my brothers. They thought he was dead. He was sold to the Ishmaelites, and so he's gone. But God, in whom he had trusted, was working mightily in his life. You may not be able to tell now, but God is working in your life. And God has great things in mind for you. But you must put your hand in his. Obey him. Trust him. And he will bring it to pass. He was able, therefore, to pull a trick on them. They did not recognize him because they remember him as a little fellow. But here he is now, a grown man, in his early 20s. And he is the prime minister of Egypt. They dress differently than how his brothers were dressed from a different area. And he recognized them. You know, there are times when you get elevated, and you have power to do things, but your understanding of how to treat people is very important. He did not call them out, but he had those under him, when it got to their sacks for wheat and for the provender they'd come for from their country, he asked them to put their money back into the sack. And on their way back to their country, they had no cars, walking with their donkeys. This guy stepped down from his donkey, and as he opened his bag, there was the money that was used to buy the provender they had come for. What can we do? This is not good. The guy back there did tell them that you look like spies. They said, we are not spies. We have come from a different country, but we are not spies. They continued on their way home. They told their dad, Jacob, and he said, well, you're going to have to give this back. It's not yours. How many parents do that? Try to keep their children on the straight and narrow. So when they went back, after a couple of months, when the food stuff was already gone, they were glad to make it known to those back in Egypt that look what happened. My money was not utilized, and I'd like to give it back. Well, I told you guys were spies. I told you guys were no good. He said to those working with him, all right, I want to talk to these guys a little further and a little deeper. Set things up in my house. I'd like these guys to come over to my house. These guys? Yes, I'd like them to come to my house. And it was set up that they would go to be with this great potentate, this great man, in his house. And he said to them, I think you guys are no good. As I would say in my country, you guys are good for nothing. I don't trust you guys. But what I want you to do, as you told me the last time you were here, you have a younger brother. or you do. Remember the early part of the story, I said that Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He had a last brother. And the man knew it because he was a brother. But they did not know he was. And he said, all right, leave your brother here, one of your brothers, go back. He asked them personally, like, how are your fathers? Because they told him that they have a father, they are children of their father, he had several children, one is not, referring to himself, and one is still a young child at home. So again, he gave them provender and sent them on their way home. He said, but we can't leave without Simon. That's our brother. No, I'm going to hold him here to see if you guys are lying to me. So they went back and they told their dad, and he said, how can you do this to me? Why do you have to tell a guy that you have a father and a brother? Dad, he kept Simon. And he asked if we bring our last brother with us the next time, or else we'd get no food. And again, in course of time, the food had been diminished, and they had to go back to face this tyrant. And they did. And he thought, well, by now they must recognize that I am related to them. We all have the same nose. Our eyes look nearly the same. God gives us features. God gives us identity. But they didn't. So after they'd come back, he wanted to talk to them again privately. But as he came in among them, with all the other Egyptians around, he couldn't take it. He had to turn aside and go into another room and cry, because here are my brothers. They did not recognize that I am Joseph. I have a different garb, but I think I look like them. But they didn't realize it. And he went to another room and cried and sobbed. Came back out and said to the other Egyptians in the room, everybody get out of this room for a minute. I want to talk to these guys. Instead of meaning them evil, instead of trying to hurt them, he said, I am Joseph, your brother. I am Joseph, your brother. They couldn't believe it. He had become now so mature. He had become so refined. He was so different. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God sent me in advance of you that I might provide for my family. You never can tell what God will do in your life. You might think that nothing good happening to me. I am a good for nothing. Not in God's sight. In God's sight, he wants you to be a son of the king, a child of God, not only by creation, but by recreation. That would be his purpose. He gave them some orders. He said, I want you to go back and tell Dad I'm alive. Look what has become of me. And I want you to bring Dad. They were all bawling. They were all screaming. They couldn't face him because they intended him evil. But look at the elevation. Look at the glory. Look at the magnitude that has come of his life. Sometimes we can't tell what will become. We can't, because we do not know the future. But if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and walk day by day, step by step, who knows what will become of us in the hand of God. We are clay in the Father's hand, brethren. And unless we allow God to mold, what happens to clay? Clay is mashed and crushed and formed. What did they do with grapes? They mash them, trample them, squeeze all the life, as it were, out of them. Then it becomes a fine wine. You know, it's the same thing with us. God was mashing and crunching and squeezing. You're going to become a son of God. Not only by creation, but by recreation. And God took Joseph, elevated him in the eyes of men, his father, and all those who were back in their land were able to come and join him. They couldn't believe the magnitude of what he had become. Do you know what our future is, brethren? Do you understand it? Do you have a sense of appreciation for it? We will become very sons of very God. What did Mr. Davis say? You'll be transformed from dirt to divinity. From earthlings to sons of God, who will have the very nature of God. And if we let God have his way in all eyes, nobody can stop us in our upward trend to becoming very members of the very family of God. So Joseph's life was given to us in all of its rawness. Joseph became Prime Minister of Egypt, and that is how his family got into a different country and eventually became slaves. So it seems like a cycle. They became slaves in Egypt, and it went from one level of degradation, one level of humiliation, one level of public incarceration, until God was ready to move them from one place to the next. And he did. And God is preparing. The Bible says that I have not seen, nor ear heard, but God has prepared for them that love him. It is for us, like Joseph, to love God. Might be in the pit today, might be in the prison tomorrow, but eventually you will be in the very family of God, reigning and ruling with God. It is for us to keep our trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And God will bring all things to pass. Thank God for Joseph. You don't know who you are, except you're a son of God. But you don't know what lies out there for you. You'll have some trials. You'll have some pit experiences. Some prison experiences. But God, who has great plans for you, will bring you into his family and make you a child of God, in the family of God, and in the kingdom of God. Are you ready for that? We don't know what's ahead of us, except that we'll end up in God's family if we keep trusting the Lord with all your heart. So you do that. You let God rule in your life. And if you do, what did we say a while ago? Crown him with many crowns. God will crown you as king, sitting on the throne and ruling with God. Let us do that, young people. Let us believe God. And we know that God will bring us through. Make us very sons, very God, ruling in the kingdom of God. You're a Joseph. That may not be a name, it might be Jenny. Maybe Gloria. But eventually you're going to get a name change. Son of God. Ruling with the family of God. In the kingdom of God.